Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
It's going to be one of those nights, is it? Glitchy glitch glitchman. Glitchy glitch face.
The BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
See what I mean?
It's clobbering time.
What the hell? We'll just to hell with the sound bites. To hell with the scarecrows. Yeah, it's just so glitchy McGlitch face all of a sudden tonight. So, you press a button and nothing happens. Yay, BGR.
Yeah.
Well, quick shout out before we get started, ladies and gerbils, to one of our great old buddies is in the chat room. I can't. By the way, there's another glitch problem. I can't write in the chat room for some reason, but he's there. I don't know. Well, his name is there. I don't know if he's still here. He is, but if he is, big shout out to Almighty Sports Show, our old buddy Richard, our long-suffering Cleveland Browns fan extraordinaire, and a good old chap, a good old buddy.
Red Right 88.
Nah, he said it. I didn't. Don't forget it. Can't blame me on that one, buddy. That was all the other Mike. Right. I would never say Red Right 88.
Evil Mike.
But anyway, welcome everyone out there. This is Clobbering Time, issue number 625. And New Orleans Saints, Chicago Bears, two mics, NFL Week 10 extravaganza. And we welcome anyone out there who's either listening on the feeds, out there listening on the different places like the Facebooks and Twitters and or downloads from later. Wherever you are, we thank you. Let's see here. I want to thank my good buddy Mike, who is here with us tonight, for joining us and for joining me as always, and teaming up with me for our splendid Thor Ragnarok review show from this past week. If you have not heard that yet, and you have already seen Thor Ragnarok, and therefore don't worry about spoilers. Go check that out. It was from this past Wednesday night, and of course, probably. Not this next week, of course. I don't know if I'll do any geek shows next week because I have some things I have to take care of. But if I don't, I'll be there the next week to review, you know what, Just Ass Leak. So, and of course, we'll have our football shows to talk about. Talk about the gridiron. What the hell's wrong with me? You're not supposed to be tired. You didn't do anything today. It's Saturday. Anyway, I didn't do a damn thing, and I'm tired, but, you know, hey. What's weird is, I can't believe this, but a little past half to go in the fourth quarter, and Alabama might get beat. They're in a tie game right now. Holy shit, Georgia lost. Georgia lost today. Auburn
Holy
beat
cow.
Georgia. Yeah. So, Auburn beat Georgia. Whoa. Mississippi State. Up until then, they had a touchdown lead. Now it's a tie game, 24 apiece. But, you know, it's only a little under seven to go in the game. I mean, that's it. And they're in Mississippi. So who knows, man? Stand by. We'll update you on that one. That would be some kind of – for both of those teams.
It really would.
To lose?
I mean, it's been very much like Georgia and Alabama were going to be the two big teams. Towards the end of the season here, you know.
They sure are. I think it shows that even in the college ranks, it's, you know, I mean, you're considered garbage if you lose two games almost, usually in college.
Right.
Three maybe at the outs. It just depends what those three are. But one lost team is usually about as bad as it needs to get. And getting now, we will not have a. Oh, is Notre Dame still undefeated? And so they're playing right now. Auburn, oh my God, beat them 40-17.
Wow.
I don't know what's happening in the Notre Dame game. That's still going on. So, I don't know. Crazy stuff. Keep you posted. But right now, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Pros. Of course, this past week, the New Orleans Saints versus the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Chicago Bears on the bye. So we'll talk a little bit about. We'll start out talking about that Saints game and a little bit about what went on in the NFL last week, Michael. Yes. I assume you saw some of that game or know a bit about it at least.
I caught some of it. I was flipping around, so you know.
Gotcha. Yeah,
you will be able to speak expertly upon it.
Well, just a really nice thorough butt whipping for the most part. Which people always say, I just want to see a good game. No, I just want to see a good game when there are teams that I don't. That I'm not really emotionally involved with.
Exactly.
You know, if I flip in and I land on the Chargers and the Jags, I'd like to see a nice game.
Right.
If I land on the, you know, I don't know, say the Browns-Lions, because I've always kind of been partial to the Browns even before I met my buddy Almighty, but even more so because of him, I'm going to pull for the Lions a little bit on that one. But if I see it, but I'm even then just want to see an entertaining football game.
Right.
These are some games coming up tomorrow, so I'm just mentioning them out of the blue. Like, if I land on a Cowboys-Falcons, of course I'm going to want to see it, my rival destroyed. But if I land on a, a Bengals-Titans or something like that, I just want to see a good game. But when it's my team, I want to destroy whoever I line up against. I want to be sitting there. Sipping on a little Coke, you know, cherry Coke or something in the. I don't drink, assuming. All the boys will be drinking beers. I want to be sipping on stuff, joking around, cutting up with the boys in the third quarter, saying, come on, boys, let's go get another one. Let's pile some shit on this team. You know, relaxing, having a little bit of fun, going, yeah, we're comfortable. We don't have to sweat this one. Because most weeks you're going to have to sweat it in the NFL.
Right.
You're just going to have to. So if you get about, you know, one or two of those a year where you can sit back. You know, late third quarter, you got a few touchdowns on them. They look bad. You look like you know you're going to take this one away. You know, early fourth quarter, you know you got it. That's what you kind of like to have when it's your team that you're invested in. You don't always get it. You rarely get it. But when you get it, you kind of like that. And this past week, Tampa showed me that they're – I'll just do this before we even get to the later segment. You can stick a fork in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And one of the things that really before I get to some of the crazy shit that happened to this game, before the game, you know how they'll sometimes go show Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or whatever cheering their boys on, doing their 300 stick, like trying to rev up their gang and stuff, their team and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
The sidelines, which I always just aggravates me. I think it looks, to me, it's silly. But they seem to, the team seem to like it, right?
Right.
So, usually, though, it's like a rabble-rousing thing. Like, you know, they're sitting there going, we're going to win, 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 and they're chanting and shit. Fucking Jameis Winston did the silliest shit, the most idiotic thing I've ever seen with his trying to get his boys revved up.
Okay.
He was, he had his hands, like, in the form of, like, W, sort of, and he was licking and sucking on his fingers going, taste that win, taste that win. I'm like, what? That's going to get me motivated. You look weird. You should see it. Dude. They keep showing it. Every time I'm like, that is just it's gross. It's ugly. That ain't. If they call that pass interference, man, you know the fix is in for Alabama. They are going to do it, too. It was just fucking stupid, dude. I'm like, what a dumbass.
Right.
I already hated him anyway. I never was a fan of Jameis Winston. No, I mean, he's got a lot of his off-field antics have been really, really childish and stupid and not befitting any kind of leader quarterback you're ever going to see.
Right.
I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he's doing this stuff, and I'm like, dude, you look like an idiot, man. You're not like Breeze or Brady out there trying to, you know, get them motivated, just yelling and, you know, raising your fists and getting the guys yelling pranked up. You're sucking your fucking fingers and saying, take that win. And what in the fuck is wrong with you? So anyway, there were a lot of weird fights in the league last week. None more asinine than the one that happened in the Saints game. Now, did you see this one? You know what I'm talking about with Mike Evans?
Oh, yeah. Got into it with, was it? The Marshawn Lattimore?
Yes, I believe it was Lattimore. And what happened was, Lattimore, again, Winston has already been benched because of an injury. You have Fitzpatrick filling in for him. This is, I think this is fourth quarter. I'm not exactly sure. Somewhere up in there, right? And Winston, who's out of the damn game, comes over there and he starts, like, talking shit, John, after a play to Lattimore, and he walks off the bench. I mean, he walks out onto the field and starts sticking his finger in Lattimore's ear hole of his helmet or some kind of stupid shit. Again, name me another quarterback that does that kind of shit. And just like, you know, and so Lattimore just kind of brushed it off and told him, you know, he pushed back because the guy pushed him.
Right.
Very light pushback, by the way. Next thing you know, this idiot, classless scumbag, Mike Evans, is running at like 100 miles an hour and jacks him in the back.
Right.
That hit a total hit in the back of a man standing there just way dead ball. You know, no play had been going on for 20 minutes or for like 2 minutes. He just jacked him in the back.
Right.
And didn't get ejected. I mean, Sean Payton ran across the field, man. He went absolutely nuts. And I don't blame him. Both of those punks, especially Evans, should have been ejected. You could have ended this man's career. I mean, you could have killed him, dude. If you see that hit, it's way up high into the back.
Yeah.
And it's fucking stupid. It's like, Lattimore did was like, you know, the guy, what's his face, put his hands all over him. So he put his hands back. He pushed the guy back. And this maniac comes and whacks him in the back. It's a good thing. It's a good thing it didn't cause a severe injury.
Right.
What's his face got suspended?
Yeah. Lattimore. I'm sorry. Evans.
Right.
I believe he did get a game suspension. And it was a case where it wasn't even the instigator wasn't even on the field at the time. He wasn't even part of the play.
No, exactly.
With Winston, right? He was on the sideline.
And yes, again, he started it. He started sticking his hand in his helmet and you know, what's his name, pushed back in a very light altercation and mostly just jawing. And then you get this Dick Butkus hit in the back. Out of nowhere, at full speed. I mean, he had to be a maniac to do something like that. And his ass should be suspended for certainly more than one game. He should have been ejected. And I got to tell you right, and that's why I've always said that I declared a while back that I know he got close one time, but Cam Newton will never be a champion because he's not a good leader. He's not a quarterback, not a leader. And I'm going to say that about Jameis Winston now. He will soon, within the next couple of years, become a journeyman, backup all over the place, and never be a champion. He will never be a leader of men. And you could tell by the kind of weirdo.
It is going to be very the next 4 or 5 years after any general quarterback draft class, because you know it seems like they come in clusters sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know the same way Winston and Mariota came out at the same time. And you know, who can forget the class of 83? I mean, you get these quarterback classes who come out and it's always interesting to see who down the line basically winds up being that professional journeyman quarterback for, you know, two or three different teams and who goes on to actually have anything resembling a career. I mean, even a mediocre career like your Joe Flacco's, you know, the guys who stick, but don't necessarily, you know, dominate by any stretch.
Yeah, it'll be that pretty much. But on to the game, it was you can't get too high and you can't get too low at this point in the season. So, you know, when you're doing very well, you still don't need to get too high. So I'm not. But what I will say is the encouraging bits of this game are that we, again, playing at the kind of football that I've wanted to see this same team play since 2009. Again, the stat sheets are fun. people enjoy watching for years have enjoyed, even people who aren't really fans of the team, have enjoyed watching this team because they know when they watch the Saints, they're always going to get this aerial show. They're going to get to watch a guy throw for 300 and 400 yards in multiple games. They're going to get get Drew Brees throwing 50 times. People like that. I get it. That's, you know, they've tailored the NFL to be in a quarterback league for that reason. But when you're a team, when you want to see your team be successful, you want them to do the things they need to do to be successful and do them well and excel at them. And that means you don't need a quarterback throwing the ball 50 times a game. You don't need right. to depend. You want to have the Tom Brady's. You want to have the Breezes, the Mannings, and the Rodgers and the people like that. You need it. You got to have it. But you also don't want to have to rely on them all the time. And right. that means, and the better teams still put the good defense out there and put the running game out there. And we've got a great two-headed monster right now at running back. We are not having to rely on Drew Brees to carry this football team. And this defense is taking the football away.
Right.
Again, whatever we think of the Bucs, they've got some offensive talent. And, Winston hasn't played that well, but he's got some weapons. And they really just kind of made them look pretty silly the whole game. And again, I just got to love it. This looks a lot like the 09 team. But again, in 09, I started thinking back to that, by the way, Michael.
Yes.
In 09, they do resemble that team a lot. But in 09, I can't think of too many really – it was a year where there weren't really too many powerful NFC teams that would
right.
make you go, I don't know how they're going to get by. Like now we go, how are you going to get by the Eagles? And that is,
yeah.
of course. I don't know – I mean, I know the Favre-led Packers – excuse me, Vikings, the team that helped us.
Right.
Were pretty good. I'm not – I guess Rodgers and those Packers were just still kind of coming of their own a little bit. Trying to think who was good. I mean, who was a real scary powerhouse at that point?
Well, I'll say this about the year that your Saints won the Super Bowl. It's funny how, you just feel like certain matchups are better than others. I was extremely happy that the Saints, not only got past the Vikings, but won that Super Bowl because, talk about hell freezing over, they always, that was always the old joke. And, it was just great to see hell freeze over. But it's interesting because I think that had the Vikings gone on, I would have very much favored them to beat the Colts. And so it was just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think the right team to play the Colts showed up, it's hard to explain. I guess in a sense that it was because the Saints were sort of the underdogs that were like, boy, I hope they can pull this out because the Colts really are, a tough draw. And, but I think in terms of just the complete team, the Vikings, I'm fairly confident would have overcome the Colts. So I guess it preserved some of the suspense if nothing else, but, that was great to see. And it was great that, basically that Favre was the undoing. He was both the reason they got there and the reason they got bounced out.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you're right. I agree with you. I think the Vikings were probably the other team that was the cream of the NFC at that point. The Packers were just now starting to play well. They got knocked out of the playoffs early by the Cardinals, who came in and then we shellacked them. The Cardinals.
Yep.
We actually took care of business with the Cardinals pretty well.
Yes, you did.
Who had just come off a year of losing a Super Bowl.
Right.
So at that point, we didn't feel like, because we're the Saints, first of all, because we're Saints fans, at this point in the season, we were 8-0.
Right.
And we weren't going, we were happy as
yeah.
as can be to be 8-0, but we're like, all right, but remember, we always kind of wait for the bottom to fall out a little bit. So we weren't really sure until we started. A lot of our games came down to the wire. A lot of them were big comeback. There was a game in Miami where we were down by 3 touchdowns into the fourth quarter and ended up coming back. A game in Washington where we barely came back after a couple of touchdowns and won at the end. So there were a couple of road games that we had to come back and win these suckers. And it wasn't until about when we were at like 12 and 0, we're like, whoa.
Right.
This could be, I mean, look, who else, who, you know, if we get home field, who could come in here and beat us?
Right.
And we were kind of that way about it, but everyone said that was the year also that the Colts were going undefeated. Look at, and they talked about maybe the Colts are going to go undefeated. So we get this Saturday night game here after being 13-0. It was a Saturday night game. Cowboys came in and knocked us off the undefeated ranks. They beat us, and then after that we the Bucks came in and beat us in a weird one when we played like crap, and then we rested everybody for the final season. We just went 13-3. But that was, remember, that was when there was a lot of controversy about, do you sit Peyton Manning or do you go for the undefeated record? That was that year. And
right.
So they were considered the best team in football at that point, and no one gave us a chance. So I'm not going to say we're there yet, we're the 09 Saints team yet, but we look a lot like them, especially coming off the 0-2 start, which is never good. But we look alike like them now, and we're going to have to – I mean, again, that game last week was pretty dominating. And really, it was, what was it, 30-3 was the final or whatever?
30-10, I believe.
30-10, that's right. There was a garbage touchdown.
They did. They scored the garbage time TD.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Alabama's the luckiest motherfuckers.
Oh, no.
1 second on the clock. No, it ran out. Did it run out? Come on. No, they got 31 seconds, and they just got one down in the field goal range. They're going to win this with a field goal. Bastards. And Georgia people are going to be pissed.
Especially since they didn't just lose to Auburn. Apparently, they got kind of whipped a little bit there.
Yeah, maybe he'll miss this bitch. I mean, come on, dude, miss it, man. I guess they're probably going to run some more plays first. Anyway, God, it'd be nice to see Alabama lose. Jesus, I can't stand Saban. But they're well into the range now. Now they got a touchdown. No, they won it with a touchdown. Son of a bitch.
Oh.
Touchdown, 25. They're something. I hate to say it, man. They're something. Anyway, so we look good. We look really good against them. Strong, strong game. I think, again, that always gets people talking. It always gets the talking heads.
Right.
Now, they weren't getting a lot of attention before. Now everyone's saying this team, really, they're way up in the power rankings. I think they're good enough to go win in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly. I mean, the Bills are kind of, I don't want to say reeling exactly. I mean, they've got a good record and they've got a pretty good overall team. But just quarterback to quarterback, which is often the comparison that matters the most, Tyrod Taylor is just, he's just kind of a guy. He really is not one of those consistently excellent quarterbacks that you need to go anywhere. And so, you know, they're sort of stuck in one of those weird situations where, you know, he's the best option of the options they've got, like a lot of teams who play, I guess you'd say inferior quarterbacks.
Right.
He's the best option of those available to him, but that just speaks more to the, lack of good choices that they have. And, you know, the main thing that will help them is the fact that they're a decent team with a good defense, and it's a road game for the Saints. But, you know, the Saints came off of a game against a division opponent and, you know, beat them handily, and it didn't look like one of those games where you know how sometimes the Saints and the Falcons particularly, sometimes their games, even when you're not even necessarily got playoff seeding on the line, there's an intensity there. But the Bucs are not in that category because they haven't been a division opponent for the Saints that long. So I guess what I'm saying is I think there's less chance of an emotional letdown after the win over the Bucs, whereas if they just played the Falcons and it had been a bloodbath, you know, they had just gone toe-to-toe like a Ali Frazier for 12 rounds, you always worry about the intensity for the next game after a game like that. And because sometimes those things are as bad as playoff games in that respect. And so I think that, you know, the game against the Bucks, I mean, it's almost like a tune-up before you go on the road against, you know, a team that's even better. You're just probably feeling pretty good about your chances if you're the Saints right now. That's how I
am. Yeah, I really do. By the way, welcome to our other Michael, other Mike, that is. Hey, Mikey.
Uh-oh.
What's up, fellas?
Yo,
how
Mike.
Y'all doing tonight?
Oh, all right, buddy. I'm sorry. I just noticed you there. I don't know how long you've been on there, but...
No, it's okay.
Welcome.
I enjoyed listening, man.
Welcome, man. Well, let's see. What'd you think of that game? I know you were at it. Did you have a good time? No trouble this time?
I did. I had a great time, and the lady that we've coined as Princess Snowflake was back. She didn't give us any trouble.
God.
But, you know, we didn't have much resistance from the Tampa fans because we kind of won the game pretty handily. There wasn't much competition there, so not a whole lot to smack talk about. Just a good game from us, and it was a fun game. And, man, glad to go get number 6 in a row. It was awesome, you know.
Isn't it nice to be able to run the football? Good Lord.
It is.
I mean,
it's the little things.
The little things you share is sometimes as a fan of a football team, to be able to run the ball and to do it like, I don't care if that it's two guys at all. A lot of people like the, you know, the big feature back and stuff. I'm fine with it being two fillers because they're doing such an outstanding job. They're very similar to when it was Bush and Thomas.
Yeah, no question. I think that's something that Sean Payton has lacked since the Darren Sproles departure. Part of the reason why we've kind of struggled and we relied on Drew so much, because if you notice right now, we're not relying on Drew to go win the games. It's a very balanced offense, more than we've seen in the past. And, man, I mean, that helps everybody. That helps the defense. That helps Drew. And if he's got to step up and win the game, he can. But when you can kind of control the clock and control the flow of the game, I mean, if any team's doing that, they're going to have success and they're going to win. But, you know, to cap it off, too, man, we're playing really good defense. We're getting after the quarterback for the first time in 3 or 4 years. We're making, you know, we're intercepting the ball in the secondary. We got a host of good guys back there. As I mentioned, Lattimore, who's having a Pro Bowl season. But overall, just what we did this year in the draft is the best that we've done since 2006. You got a chance right now to have the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year in the same draft. That's incredible. So, you know, Kamara is right there up with some of the other guys. He's probably, you know, in the top three of the guys that could win that award. And Lattimore's leading on defense of who could win that award. So I don't know if it's ever happened before where one team had the offensive and defensive rookie of the year on the same team. I don't know if anybody can look that up, but you got a good shot of that happening.
We're talking about Lattimore here, that cheap shot artist who attacked Jameis Winston and then introduced Mike Evans to attack him from behind.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Lattimore's, from what I've heard, you know, sometimes word of how other teams' players doesn't necessarily filter out to the broader community, but I have read more than one article that Lattimore is really the real deal and that he's just doing an excellent job out there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, what?
Hail Mary from the 50-yard line into the end zone by Mississippi State and get a defensive pass interference.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, again, it's only 15 yards in college, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
About to get another shot at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, if that were the pros, dude, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. 1 yard line.
Wow. Wow. And you know what? But incidentally, I never really agreed with that rule, to be honest. I spotted the foul type thing because you still don't know if the guy was going to make the catch. It's always possible the guy won't make a catch, but, you know.
That's it. I mean, you know, you can look at it both ways. If the guy had made the catch, it's much further down the field. But at the same time, like you said, there's no way to know for sure. You know, the college rule just seems a little bit more sensible, but, you know.
Right. Here he goes again. Hang at the end zone, and
then
he
again,
threw it out of the end zone. Over.
But then again, you know, there's also the question of, well, if it's 15 yards and the defensive back, you know, especially in the end zone, knows he's beat, that, you know, might be an inducement to commit the foul. So, you know, I guess there are pros and cons, but I guess the
right.
Bottom line is that, you know, it's a if you do it in the pros, it's definitely a lot more damaging, especially if it happens in the end zone.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that was a good shot, good try by Mississippi State. They gave it a good shot. Again, the kid, this time he threw it too far out of the end zone because he, you know, got an arm on him. But, yeah, it's – when I first saw that play a minute ago, like, I was thinking pro, not college. I'm like, whoa, they're going to get it on the 1 yard. Oh, no, they're not. So, anyway, so fuck you, Saban. God, I hate that guy.
Well, look at it this way. He prepares defensive players for the NFL very well.
Alabama's a machine.
Yeah.
You're right, buddy.
Man,
if you draft
you what,
a, if you draft
I will forever
a,
be.
You're right.
I will forever be grateful to Nick Saban for the rest of my life for passing on Drew Brees and going with Dante Culpepper. So thank you,
yes.
Nick Saban.
Absolutely. Yep. They saw that shoulder injury and they said, oh, no, we can't commit to that. And
yep.
I was thinking all along, boy, because at the time we had Rex Grossman, and I think it was Rex. What year did he come to the Saints?
It was Rex. Yeah, 2006. Yeah, you're right. It's Rex.
And I was thinking Rex, he just throws so damn many interceptions. I really, really want them to take a look at Drew Brees. This is a proven commodity coming out of San Diego. The only reason they're playing Rivers is because they spent such a high pick on the guy. And, of course,
right.
The idiot Bears did not do that. And, of course, that was to the Saints' benefit because, doggone, look at it. Look at the aftermath, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot, no doubt about it.
Yeah, buddy. Well, I guess, you know, since there was no Bears game last week, we've talked a little bit about the both Saints game last week and this week. Again, let's see. Since we'll just jump to the Bills game, then we'll get on to the Bears game for tomorrow. Mikey, look. By the way, where are we watching that game? At your place?
My place, man. I'm cooking buffalo and andouille jambalaya tomorrow.
All right, man. Bring anything?
No, man. Just bring yourself and bring your spirit and your hoot at, and we're gonna be fine. I got everything else.
Okay. What time should it be there?
Anytime you want.
All right, man. Well, that sounds good. I think we can do it. I think, again, it's not going to be an easy game. It'll be outside and all that kind of stuff, but I think we can make this one happen. I know the Bills are at home, and they've been good at home, but they still did not look good on the road against the Jets at all. It looked like a team, and from some of the things I've been looking at and studying up on a little bit, watching some of their highlights, is that the Jets – excuse me, the Bills right now are not protecting Tyrod Taylor at all. And the Jets beat them because they pounded on him. And they beat him up pretty good. So I have a feeling that the Saints defense will know that. And I can't believe we're getting sacks and pass rush like we haven't had in, again, 8 years. So
yeah,
our pass rush
yeah.
should be
yeah.
too much for tomorrow.
Right. I think that what both teams are going to try to do and what the Bills are, the Bills are a run first, pass second team. They don't want to beat you with Tyrod Taylor. They want to run the ball with McCoy, and they do a damn good job of it. The thing that kind of does worry me about tomorrow is that we don't have Vaccaro. So you don't have that run support coming out of the secondary. that's a little worse. But I think Von Bell, he'll step in and he'll fill that role, and we'll be okay there. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be high of like 40 degrees. There's a pretty good chance of rain, so you could have a cold, wet game, which, you know, we know that the Saints are not used to playing in that kind of conditions. They're a dome team. Brees has been playing in the dome for, the better part of 10 years, and could be a close one. But you're right.
Yep.
We're getting to the quarterback. We're finally able to do that again. If you can get to him and disrupt what he's doing and stop the run, make him beat you, we should win the game. I think we've definitely got a better team. But, man, you got to show up. You know, you got to show up and go play football.
Yep, absolutely. Think we got a decent chance of pulling this one out, Shu?
Well, like I said before, if you're just comparing quarterbacks head to head, you know, the Saints are far and away, they have the advantage in that respect. Saints are running the football. They're looking good doing it. The defense, which every Saints fan I talked to prior to the season thought was going to be a weakness, is proving to be a strength. And, you know, that's due in no small part to having, like we were talking about Lattimore earlier, well, you know, when you've got somebody who can cover as well as he's been covering, you know, that helps the people in front of him. Usually the conventional wisdom, typically the conventional wisdom is right, is when you've got a terrific front seven, you know, it improves the back end. But the same can be said for the back end if it enables you to get coverage sacks. And
yep.
also, of course,
yep.
if they're able to come up and run support and help out. You know, even, you know, despite the injury to Vaccaro, Saints defense has really surprised everybody and rounded into form quite nicely. And, you know, right now I've definitely got them in top, you know, top three teams in the NFC Central easily. You know, obviously if you're talking about the top teams in the NFC, then the Eagles are there very much at the top. You know, the Saints are undoubtedly, you know, playoff contenders at this point, and not just playoff contenders like the marginal wild card or whatever. You know, they've got the inside track to win the South. And at this point, you know, it's very easy to favor them against a team like the Bills. Bills coming off of a weak performance against the Jets, like you guys were talking about. Apparently, they're not protecting their quarterback very well. So it's going to be tough for them to muster the offense that they need. Even though I think they've got a pretty good defense, it's probably not going to be enough to stop, you know, an excellent offense. You know, Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and the gang, and especially with you guys running the ball. I mean, that's what the big thing that a lot of teams that have a good offense, you know, usually are missing is a good running game, you know, and the fact that you guys are balancing it, that keeps the defense guessing. And so so, you know, based on how I'm talking, you know, and right now, you know, later on we're picking, clearly I'm going with the Bills. And just kidding. Yeah, absolutely. I have no doubt that you know, the Saints, I would favor them. We, you know, but as we have seen, that's why you have to play these things.
Yep.
And you know, it's on any given Sunday. Your team can go out there and start spitting the ball out and turning it over and making boneheaded plays. And you just have to hope that the turnover bug doesn't hit and that everybody plays assignment
right.
sound football and is where they need to be. And if that happens, I see the Saints as being the more talented team and undoubtedly with the odds in their favor to win this game.
I agree with that one big time. We'll touch on it a little bit more in our pick'em segment. But now, our good old Chicago Bears are off of their bye week from last week, and they host at the same time as the Saints play at the 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central game, the Green Bay. Rodgers-less Packers.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on that one, Michael?
I have read that the Bears are favored, and I'm glad for that because Bears defense has been, frankly, terrific, especially the past 5-6 games. They have really been, I would say, ascending, and the front seven in particular has been just getting great pass pressure and has been playing the run really well. They are able to hang with teams because they've, you know, really improved their defense. And the thing that's going to be the difference is on offense, because they have been doing a good job of running the football and only throwing strategically, because, of course, they've got – Trubisky, and he's still developing. He is still ripening right now. When you think about that batch of bananas you bought at the store, that is one green banana out there on the field. Okay, but slowly, it's becoming less green. He's looking a little bit less green. That yellow's creeping in a little bit. He's trying to learn how to expand, I guess you'd say, so that he doesn't just have to throw the safe passes and whatever. I've seen more than one article about how this week the Bears might take the governors off, or take the breaks off of the offense with Trubisky. And my attitude about that is that don't go apeshit. Okay, I mean. Green Bay is not a great defense by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I think you can honestly make the argument that they are a kind of bad defense. They've got, they can rush the passer from time to time. Clay Matthews is still decent at that. He's getting older, but he can still get in there. And right. you don't want to open up your rookie quarterback to too much abuse. But at the same time, if you're going to be able to get some time in the pocket to scan the field and find an open guy, this is one of the teams on the back half of the schedule you should be able to do that against. So I suspect they will dial up more pass plays for him. But again, it's still going to be triggered off of play action. They still want to establish the running game, because that is a rookie quarterback's best friend.
Right.
And so when you can do play action, of course, not just for rookies, of course, but for quarterbacks of any experience level, play action freezes the defense, basically opens things up downfield, and that's really what you want for a guy like Trubisky, who is still sorting things out, still adapting to the pro game. But I think that you're going to see more of that in my hope, not my expectation, because you never know what to expect. But my hope is that that will be there for him. The only wild card is that the receivers have sucked. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. When the guy that they had designated to be their wide receiver one tore his ACL in training camp.
Right.
And then the other guy, who was their number one pick from a couple of years ago, yet again breaks his shoulder in like the first or second game of the season. And you're left with the pieces. You really are at a decided disadvantage as far as having receivers who can gain separation, who can, get away from guys who are jamming them at the line of scrimmage. You got to make people who do that pay. If they're not going to go back into zone coverage, then you need to be able to get off of that jam and get past them. And the Bears receivers have just not been able to make them pay. And so they've got to step up their game. There are no two ways about it. They've got to be able to beat the jam at the line of scrimmage and get open for their quarterback, because sometimes you wonder, well, what would he look like in a system where they had, some legitimate number one and number two type wide receivers in it, And my hope, got my fingers crossed, my hope is that Dontrell Inman will have taken advantage of that bye week. And he's a pro's pro. He's an experienced wide receiver. He's coming in from a system where he had to he had to shoulder the load for Phillip Rivers when their top two wide receivers were out, and he did it. So he's a big-bodied guy. He's not going to be easy to stuff at the line of scrimmage. He runs good routes. So my hope is that Inman will be that target, that guy who can go in and consistently get open. And if he does draw double teams, maybe that will enable some of these other guys who might flourish against, single coverage to get out there and catch some balls. So my hope is that Inman's going to come in and make the offense, if not explosive, at the very least more consistent, so that they can balance out their run-pass ratio a good bit. Something else they're going to have to really do, too, is a lot of teams, they are either – it feels like they're either good at the screen pass or they're horrible at it. And the Bears for years have been horrible at the screen game. And there's just a timing and a touch aspect to it, to where when to release the block, when to start running forward to start setting things up for the running back, you know. And, you know, the Bears have not yet established a consistent screen game. And I think that will really help, especially when you got somebody shifty like Tariq Cohen, who is just in space. He's just unbelievable. And Jordan Howard, who's just a patient, precise runner who you know, gets yards after contact. So they've got to get the screen game going. They've also got to be able to more often, you know, one of the things that you do when you want to beat the press coverage is you want to run a lot of slants, and, you know, you want to run a lot of crossing patterns and, you know, things that, you know, the ball comes out quickly. And they've got receivers who can do that, if nothing else, you know, and they have refrained from running, calling a lot of plays like that for some reason. And one of the things you want to see them do in particular is get the ball in the hands of somebody like Tariq Cohen, who is, they call him the human joystick for a reason. The guy is just unreal in terms of his short area quickness. And, you know, you want to see him be able to get out there. They line him up as a wide receiver quite a bit. And, you know, you want to see, want him to be able to get out there in space so that they can get the ball to him and so that he can make plays after he's past the line of scrimmage. So I really want to see them do more of that, try more of that, because they almost seem like they've been a little bit afraid to do that kind of that kind of passing game, and I don't know why. But I will say that, you know, the Bears are favored to win this game. They're at home. The Packers have proven that without Aaron Rodgers, they suck. And, you know, and – I dare I say it, I expect them to win this game. But that's the hell of it all, is, you know, you sit there thinking, okay, I've read enough Ziggy comics in the past to wonder, am I jinxing my team by expecting them to win? You
nah.
know?
No, I mean,
so you just, God, you just hope not.
No, I mean, you're at home, your defense is good, and you're playing Brett Hundley. So
We are playing the mighty Brett Hundley.
You're playing the wrong Brett for Green Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
you're fine.
Talking on that, Mike. Yeah, you can have confidence in them that they're going to win this game, and like what you were saying, that this might be the game where they kind of start to unleash the offense, take the reins off a little bit. This is the game to do it. There's no question about that. And this is interesting.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is the first time since 1991 that the Packers and Bears played where the Bears didn't face either Aaron Rodgers since 1991.
That is crazy.
Facing Brett.
Wow.
As a starter, I mean, the only other time that they had to face them, face another quarterback for any length of time was – back when they had Shea McClellan, who wound up with the Patriots, and he sacked Aaron Rodgers, and that was the first broken collarbone that Aaron received. Mm-hmm. But for the life of me, I have forgotten who came off the bench for them. But
Matt Flynn, maybe?
It might have been Matt Flynn. But, yeah, the upshot is that, you know, that was one of the few games against the Packers we've managed to win. And, of course, it would come back to burn us because – we had a chance to go to the playoffs in the final game of that season, and we were playing, of course, the Packers in Green Bay, and no, it was in Chicago, and the Bears were ahead, and then Chris Conte blew a coverage on a fourth and like two, and Rodgers rolled out, and it was basically the final play of the game, and Rodgers rolled out. And threw a long pass to Jordy Nelson, who for some reason people sometimes, I guess he's got like that, like the Predator cloaking field or something, because I've never seen a guy sometimes back behind the coverage and defensive backs going, oh, shit, how did that happen? I've never seen a guy who that seems to happen to more often than him. I mean, I'm sure that there's some sort of excellent play and playing, route running and so forth going into that. But the upshot of it is it's just in the team's best interest for someone to cover Jordy Nelson, I think.
Yes.
It
that's true.
Improves one's chances if they actually cover him and make sure he doesn't get behind them, you know.
Well,
so
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Good point. You there?
Yes.
I thought I lost you there for a minute.
No.
Let's stick a fork in a couple teams real quick, and then we'll do some picking here. I already started out. I went ahead earlier. I'm sticking one in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now because it's just I've seen nothing from them, and they can have Ryan Fitzpatrick all the rest of the year probably. And, you know, just Jameis Winston sucks. Mike Evans is a dirtbag. He should have been at least suspended for 2 or 3 games. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. And it should have been ejected. But anyway, anybody else got any that they wanted to stick one in? Michael, Mikey, either one. Go ahead, you.
I don't know if have I. Let's see, because I'm reviewing records right now, and there's a whole bunch of 2-6 and 3-5 across the board. But some of these folks have already had the fork stuck way into them. I guess if I was really gonna stick it to a team or stick a fork in a team right now that you know just doesn't even have a playoff chance at this point, probably Denver. Denver at the time, at the beginning of the season, I think they were expecting more, a lot more out of Paxton Lynch, more development in the offseason. You know, he's had a year in the system. He even played a few games. Trevor Siemian, he had been an adequate placeholder, I guess. And they even brought back the mighty Brock Osweiler after his weird tangent going to Houston and then to Cleveland. They just don't have anything at quarterback. I mean, yeah. As the old saying goes, oh. if you've got three quarterbacks, you don't have any. It's looking an awful lot like they are done, and I don't think it's going up too far on a limb to say that even with their defense, they just don't seem to have anything to compensate on offense, you know, or to take advantage of that on offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll win a few more games. They're not going to be one of the worst stick of fork in them teams that we've picked this year, but I think they're done.
Mikey? Anybody in particular?
Man, I'm a ride
you got
on
plenty?
No, I'm going to ride on your coattail and go with Tampa Bay. They showed against us on Sunday just how
they were lifeless.
They've got no control anywhere. They're lifeless, and they're a train wreck. And the way, you know, they're classless, too. The way that your quarterback, and I don't know if you saw the whole clip before the game where he's trying to motivate his team with the whole eat a W thing. He's got his hand all twisted up.
I was telling Mike about that. That was the most disturbing, stupid shit I've ever seen.
It was
bizarre. What are you doing?
It was crazy. And if you looked at the guys that are standing around him while he's doing it,
what is wrong with you, motherfucker?
Oh yeah, they're staring at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Are you crazy?
And then he comes off the bench and he does what he does. They got no leadership anywhere, and you had a whole lot of people at the beginning of the season that were picking them to win the division, to take over Atlanta, and they had us finishing third. But man, they're the furthest thing from that. They're a lost freaking cause. So I gotta go with you on that. Yeah, stick a fork in them. They're done. No shot. They're going to win more than maybe 5 or 6 games this year.
Yep, garbage. Now, Shu, you picked the Thursday night game. And one with the Sea Squawks. Who did you pick, Mikey? I forgot. I didn't really ask you yet.
Yeah, I went Seahawks as well on that one.
So you both won, and I went with the Cards, hoping for something that it was really dumb, and I lost. So there you go. There. trying to pick a weird one.
Well, I just want to point out that the weeks that I went 11-4 and then 12-1 and then 9-4, missing on all three Thursday night games in a row. So this week I got it right. So chances are I'm going to zip around and like the rest of my slate is going to suck. So, you know, I'm just afraid that Thursday night game is somehow weirdly predictive of how I might do based on whether I hit it or not.
Well, let's see how you do this week. All right, here we're going to go. Here we go. The New York Titans Jets. I'm going to have to go through all their names. At the aforementioned Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I stopped myself from stuff on that one. Go.
I'm just thinking that the Jets have been pluckier than I think anybody expected them to be this year. People were talking about how they were probably going to be tanking for that number one overall pick for a chance to grab one of the quarterbacks coming out of this year's great quarterback draft. You know, every year they call it great. You never know. But the Jets have not taken it lying down, and they've actually put together, you know, if not exactly a spectacular record, they're only 4-5, but they've beaten some teams that people expected them to lose to, and they haven't looked bad in all their losses. So, meanwhile, the Buccaneers, talk about, you know, your classic dumpster fire. I'm embarrassed for the Bears having lost to them. I mean, I understand that they hadn't yet played, but the fact is that, you know, after the hurricane and all that, but the fact is that the Buccaneers have whatever momentum they had at the beginning of the year is just completely gone, and I got the Jets.
All right, so, Jets, Mikey?
Yeah, I got the same thing, man. As we mentioned, just talking about the Bucs just now, the Bucs suck. They're terrible.
We agree.
You know, I think Fitzpatrick could provide a little bit of a spark for them and maybe some more control and a little bit of sanity at the quarterback position. But like you said, the Jets are playing scrappy. They're playing good football. They're playing good defense. And coming off that win against Buffalo last Thursday night, they're rested. I'm going Jets. I think the Jets are going to win this one.
Agreed. We all agree on that one.
I'll only throw in one caveat, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is usually rocking the mountain man type beard, and you never know what kind of additional power that's going to bring.
Not last week.
That's true.
Oh, was he clean shaven?
He shaved, didn't he?
Oh, he did?
He did, yeah. Yeah,
well,
I didn't recognize him.
That's like freaking
so
Samson.
Samson, yeah.
Right. That's right. That's
I didn't recognize him at all. Yeah.
Well, hell, definitely stick a fork in him there.
The New Orleans Saints at the Buffalo Bills.
I definitely have the Saints with this one. I mean, granted, it's one of those cases where they're not playing a pushover. Okay.
No, not at all.
It's an away game, and Buffalo is not a bad team, and it's a especially given that it's it's like you pointed out, it's not a dome game, so the field conditions are going to dictate the tempo to a certain extent. I do favor the Saints in this one. Their offense is clicking, and their defense is really coming into its own. And I like them on the road.
All right, Mikey, I'm sure you ditto that like I do.
Yeah, whoever wins the turnover battle in this one's going to win the game. I think they'll commit more turnovers at the quarterback position than we will, and I'm going Saints on this one.
When you can run the ball when you're playing sloppy conditions, and you've got to be able to run the football, you've got to, and there are years when we've gone into situations like that that you'd really worry because we don't throw much, but because we're running the ball so well now and getting at the quarterback, we're going to have that. I think we'll take this one. Won't be easy. Tough game, and you never know.
That's right.
The Cleveland Paul Browns at the Detroit Lions. My SU.
Well, I apologize to Almighty and the chat room in advance for the pick, you know. But it's really kind of tough to see the Browns going in to Detroit and getting a win there. And it's not at all that, you know, I prefer the Lions, but I, frankly, you know, after a while, you just really want the Cleveland fan base to have a little something to get behind. But, you know, I don't know who they'll beat this year. You know, it's a case where, you know, you just wonder, you know, every year there seems to be kind of a team that is flirting with that winless record. You know, the last team that did it was Detroit, of course, when Rod Marinelli was coaching them. And, you know, now that you still have the 49ers at 0-9 and Cleveland at 0-8, you know, you just start to wonder, who are these two going to beat if they don't play each other to get off the schneid, you know? So, yeah, I definitely have the Lions winning this one. They're a competent, functional team, which is unfortunately more than you can say for the poor Browns at this point.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I think the Lions probably kind of skate to victory on this one.
Mikey?
Yep, Lions are 10-point favorites at home for a reason. And Cleveland's just not a good football team. I'm going Lions on that one.
You know, I picked the Browns a few times this year just thinking that they got a – of course, before – again, it was earlier in the season. You don't know what you've got.
Right.
They're going to win a game sometime this year, and I'm picking them going to Detroit for the big upset special of the week. Not just because our buddy Almighty's in the chat room. At least he was. I don't know if he's hearing us now. Not just for you, Almighty, although I'm, you know, rooting for you always, buddy. But I don't know. I mean, Detroit's pretty decent and pretty solid, but they're certainly not a juggernaut. And they've shown that they can be had at some points in the season. And, you know, look, fluky game, going a couple different ways, no weather factoring in whatsoever. I don't know. I'm just going to pick the Browns as well. That's why I'm way behind in the picks, because I take chances on some shit. Because when you're behind, you have to take some chances. You got to make some weird picks, hoping you'll get lucky on some of these, you know? So.
Well, look at it. Right. Look at it this way. Stafford sometimes can be a bit turnover prone. So based on that, you know, the Browns could score an upset. That's always a possibility.
You never know. That's right. The Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans.
Well, this isn't one of those games that I feel really solidly about, but Cincinnati, we did stick a fork in them at some point, and even though they're only 3-5, they still don't come across as a good team. You know, Tennessee, they're not a great team, but at 5-3, you know, they're sort of on the upswing. They're sort of where I think a lot of people thought the Bucs would be, given, of course, the fact that they drafted quarterbacks 1-2 the same year. I am picking the Titans to take this one from the Bengals at home.
Mikey.
Yeah, I'm going with you on that. The Bengals offense is struggling so bad. They had less than 200 yards against the Jags last week. They're not getting the ball to their guys that make plays for them on defense. And, man, just looking at them, you'd think Dalton's a pretty solid quarterback, one of the more solid guys that's there in the NFL. But they're struggling. They don't have a good flow of what they're doing on offense. And Tennessee's playing pretty good defense. So I'm going Titans on it.
Same here. We all agree on that one. Chicago the Bears at hosting the Green Bay Packers of the Fudge. Go.
Well, it's like I said earlier, I hate to think that I might jinx my own darn team if I pick them, because I haven't picked them to win yet this year. but I figure if I'm going to go for broke and actually pick them to win a game, this might as well be the one, especially with the mighty Aaron Rodgers with his 13 screws in his collarbone out and Brett Hundley back there not exactly setting the world on fire. Bears have a terrific defense right now. It's developing. It's young. It's only going to get better. There are all sorts of ways they can screw this up and lose this game. I mean, this is by no means a lock, but I favor them to win, and for once, I'm picking them.
All righty. And, Mikey?
I'm going to disagree with you and say that this is a lock. This is the one that I feel probably the best about of all the games that I'm going to pick. The Bears haven't been favored against the Packers since 2008, so almost 10 years
wow.
since they've been favored to win wow. the game. I'm going with this and saying that I think this is where the Bears' offense, they catch their rhythm, and this is going to be a blowout. I'm going to bet they're going to win by 2 touchdowns at least on this one. So I got the Bears all over the Packers. The Packers are going to fold. The Bears win this one big.
I'm also going with the Bears for a lot of what Mikey just said. I think obviously it could go either way. I mean, you never know, but not just because it's the Bears, not just because it's the team of my good friend you, Mr. Shoemaker, but because I like their defense, like you said. I like some of the stuff they're slowly developing their quarterback. But quite frankly, if you can forget about a lot of stuff, the Packers are terrible right now. I mean, they're going on the road and they are terrible. Hundley is clueless. He's not like he's some kid with any potential. He's clearly – I've watched now not just the game against the Saints. I watched his other game the other night. Who was that? Who they played the other night that I watched them get their ass swept by?
Lions?
I believe it was that Lions game. Yeah. He was pretty clueless. And again, you talk about their defense having problems. I don't even think Matthews is playing, or even if he is, he's been banged up. So I don't think their defense can do a whole lot. You guys are beating some teams. I mean, first of all, it's real tough to score against these Bears. And all it takes, you could beat them with 10 points, probably.
Yeah.
You could probably beat the Packers with 10 or 13 points. And I think you'll score a little bit more than that because their defense kind of bites. So, yeah, I think Bears have that one. I think it's pretty comfortable about that one. So, let's hope so, huh?
I tell you.
Absolutely. We'll hope so for sure. The Los Angeles, San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I am going with the Jags. The Jags defense in particular has been very stout, and the Chargers are, very much an offense-driven team, and their offense has been out of sync. So I'd say between the Jaguars defense and this being a home game, the fact that we like to make fun of Blake Bortles aside, I favor the Jaguars in this game.
Indeed, Mikey.
Yeah, I'm going Jaguars too. The Chargers are pretty good on defense right now, but Phillip Rivers really he's kind of owned the Jaguars. I think he's got like a 6-1 record against the Jags lifetime, something like that. He's beating them pretty well, but it's a different Jacksonville team. And Jacksonville, on the other hand, they're playing good defense too. They get after the ball, I'm going with Jaguars on this one.
Leonard Fournette will be playing. Didn't I think Coughlin bench his ass last week?
He did.
What are you doing for? What was it for? What did he do again?
Team violations, basically.
Yeah,
missed the team meeting and he didn't show up for some treatment, which he's had some injuries, so it's stupid of him to not show up for treatment, but.
I like that. He is playing. I like Coughlin doing that. That's some old school stuff right there. But I'll definitely go with the J-E-G-S, Jags. The Minnesota Vikings at the Washington Redskins.
I know that the Vikes are 6-2. Washington's 4-4. For reasons... unknown to me, I have a good feeling for some odd reason about the Redskins. Maybe it's the fact that they're at home. Maybe it's the fact that they upset the Seahawks last week, or who are a good team. Cousins has played good, played well last week. So I'm probably all kinds of wrong on this one, but I'm picking the Redskins on this one.
Mikey?
Man, come on, Redskins. You gotta beat the Vikings. We got the same record as them. We're both 6-2. So just from a Saints fan's standpoint, you want to keep gaining ground on those guys. But Washington is better than what they put on. They faced a lot of tough competition in the first part of the season. And I'm going Redskins on this one. Close game, maybe a 3-point game, something like that. But I'm with you. I'm going to take the Redskins on this one.
I've also taken the Redskins. Again, I like them better. They're at home, of course, sold on Case Keenum, you know, at any great, you know, him doing, they said, look, he's done a fine job of managing football games. But like you said, the Redskins are better than their record. And, yeah, I think they're still alive. So I'm going to go with the skin jobs. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Dolts.
I think it's pretty easy to go with the Steelers with this one. Indianapolis, I mean, how they've managed to win three games to this point is kind of astonishing, except for they probably played the Browns for one of those. It's really the Steelers game not just to lose, but not to blow out the other team. You know, I'm definitely going Pittsburgh.
Kadoki, Mikey?
Yeah, I'm the same thing with you. They are the Colts with one of the teams that I stuck a fork in earlier in the year. And I think Pittsburgh, they got to find their ground. They got so many damn weapons on offense. They got to get better play out of Roethlisberger heading into the playoffs. And I think they'll start to do that this week. And I'm going with the Steelers.
I'll agree on the Steelers. They have to this is the time of year where it's put up or shut up for them. They're usually better in the second half of the season. And, yeah, I think with their talent, I'd be surprised if they didn't start picking it up right here against the this hapless Dolts. The Houston Oiler Texans. I mean, the Houston Texans at the Los Angeles. The Cleveland. Let me get that straight. The Cleveland, Los Angeles, St. Louis. Los Angeles Rams. I gotta stop doing that.
You know, you would be hard pressed to find other than say the Steelers and the Colts, and I don't know, there might be another game or two this week, but you'd be hard pressed to find another game where if the Rams did not win, it would not be shocking. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you really got to see what Deshaun Watson meant to the Texans based on how they reacted when he got hurt, which is, you know, to say they did not look very good at all. And the Rams, conversely, are hitting on all cylinders. I mean, you want to talk about rivals to the Eagles in the NFC? They'd be the other one along with the Saints. You know, basically Rams, Saints, Eagles right now. Very, you know, very good chance that those are, I mean, Eagles, obviously. But if you're looking for competitors for them, the Rams and the Saints are the two most obvious ones. The Rams are up there, and it's looking like they're going to be winning their division and representing, you know, basically that week one bye at a minimum probably in the playoffs at the rate they're going. So, yeah, Rams definitely over the Texans, the visiting Texans, although it doesn't matter because nobody's really coming out in droves to see any of the L.A. area teams.
No, at this point. That's for sure. Mikey.
Yeah, no, quite simply, the Texans are injured and broken. They lost to Deshaun Watson. That was their sole leader that they had on the team. And the Rams are scoring crazy points. They're like 33 points per game or something like that. Houston just they're a broken team at this point. Losing Watson, they can't win in any kind of shootout with the Rams. And the Rams are damn good on defense, and same with them. Ton of weapons on offense, so I'm going with the Rams on this one.
Who'd have thunk we'd be talking about the Rams as one of the elite teams in the NFL? I mean, you never know what can happen, but I think you can at least say for one thing, they are for realsies.
Yep.
They are definitely for realsies. But I got them also. I just can't imagine them having any trouble with the Texans, not the way they're playing. What a difference a Wade Phillips makes to, especially to a young team where you can come in there and give them a serious old school type of a defense and let that offense, that young offense, go wild and just play. So
as coordinators go, you know, for your defense, you want a Wade Phillips. You know, you want a guy. Yeah, he's not head coaching material, I don't think, because he's had his chances and it hasn't worked out.
Right, proven that. Yeah.
But as defensive coordinators go, I mean, he's a proven commodity, and he has been doing great stuff with the Rams defense. There's no getting around it.
The New York Football Giants at the San Francisco 49ers as they play in the sucks the most bowl.
Oh my God!
Who sucks the most bowl?
If this isn't the closest thing to like there's a term I think in college football for basically the two worst teams in college who play, and this is the NFL equivalent right now. I mean, you want to just talk about two teams that are circling the drain, you know. It's just a question of which one, outside of the Browns, they're all three in the running for the number one pick in the draft. So right now you're wondering, okay, are they playing to win the draft? Only thing I can say is that the advantage to the Giants marginally goes in the fact that, the quarterback position's a little more solid for them.
Right.
And,
yep.
Because the 49ers, we don't even know if they're playing Garoppolo or not this week. So I'm picking the Giants, but with a battle of the Titans like this, it's anybody's ball game.
You who'd you pick? I'm sorry.
The Giants.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, going on a limb. What about you, Mikey?
You ain't kidding. It's anybody's game, and it's a shit house of a game. I don't know if anybody's gonna even tune in to watch this thing unless they're a fan of one of those two teams. But exactly to what Mike said, you got to give the edge to the team that's got the better quarterback. And, man, Eli, he's got skins on the wall. He's got two championships. I think he's got two. But
yes,
the edge has to be there.
Both against New England.
I've stuck a fork in both of these teams earlier, so it's like the dumpster fire bowl. But I agree with you.
Yeah,
the
fork will stay there.
Yeah, the fork stays in both of them, and they're both well done. They're cooked, but the Giants will win this one, just like what Mike said, based off of Eli Manning. So I'm going Giants.
I, too, am going Giants. Because I don't think they're going to resurrect their season or anything, but this is that time of year where the Giants kind of wake up and say, oh, what? The season started?
Right.
They don't
football.
Like it when, oh, you, what, you guys started without us? What the fuck, man?
Right. And then suddenly they run like hell to catch back up.
And they get embarrassed, and people talk bad about them, and people say they're shit, and now their coach is done, they're all done, and then they start, like, actually showing up at football games.
Right.
Not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but they're not entirely 100% eliminated. So this is now or never. Tomorrow on the road against a bad team is a chance for them to get up and actually win a game and sort of see what it feels like to actually win a game. What are they, 1-1? What is their record?
1-8.
1-8, okay. So they're probably, again.
I'm sorry, 1-7. 1-7. They have a chance at a winning record.
Yeah, they have a slight chance. Who knows? I don't think we're looking at them running the table. But them salvaging a little bit of their dignity, I could believe. So, maybe.
Sure.
Long shot, but maybe. The Dallas Cowgirls at the Atlanta. Falcons.
Just throw up on them, man.
On the one hand, you think Cowboys are coming in. It's on the road. They are, I think Elliott is finally serving the beginning of his suspension. That said, the Falcons have just been so uneven that it's really a case where you kind of wonder if they're, you know, going to even have a winning record before it's all said and done. Cowboys are really a great team, but they're good enough. I think they come in and win against the Falcons on the road. And just a side question, the Superdome is Mercedes-Benz, right?
Yes.
Because the Falcons – new stadium is also, I think, Mercedes-Benz, is it not?
Correct.
So,
what a ripoff.
This Mercedes-Benz trying to corner the market on stadium naming rights or something? That's just
I don't know.
Of, you know,
sure looks like it.
Yeah, but Yeah, it is a really impressive stadium. I haven't been inside it yet. I'd like to, but doggone it.
Yeah, I hear it's probably pretty nice.
The roof is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
State of the art.
Damn. Mikey?
Well, they just announced after 8 or 9 weeks that their piece of shit retractable roof that looks like a gaping butthole it has malfunctioned and it doesn't work anymore. So
really?
The roof is now for the rest of the year the roof is going to remain closed. It's malfunctioned and they cannot get it to open. So they're going to fix it in the off season. So just like their roof, their team is falling apart. But it's a damn tough game to pick because the Cowboys without Elliott, it's like, okay, what are they? They got a couple of viable guys at backup. And they still got pretty good play at quarterback, but it's like the Falcons, they were in the Super Bowl last year for a reason. They're a good team. So when are they going to catch on? Is it going to be this week, or does Dallas travel and beat them? It's probably, as far as the NFL is concerned, the marquee matchup of the week. But I'm going with you, Mike. I think the Cowboys do go to Atlanta and win this one. And I got to go that way anyway. I can't pick the damn Falcons to win. So let's go Cowboys on that one.
Well, I hate the Falcons, but I think that they're going to find a way to win this one tomorrow because, again, first of all, a lot of it because of what they're facing with a running back by committee situation with the Cowboys. Would that work for them or not? Probably. They got McFadden. I mean, they're okay, but I think on the road it might be a little bit too much for them because the Falcons, again, any team that is good but has not played well, but at this point of the season has their back against the wall. They're facing elimination, but they're not dead yet. They're determined. Yep. They're desperate. And they're good, and I hate the Falcons, but they're good. I think they're going to start. And by the way, the Saints are never going to be lucky enough for all of our teams in our that we're in a race against to collapse and just let us have it. So that's why I think the Falcons, both the Falcons and the Panthers, are going to. They're not ready to relinquish this thing to the Saints. They're going to be fighting tooth and nail down the stretch. And so I think the Falcons have a lot to play for. So do the Dallas Cowboys, but I think they find a way to win that one tomorrow. I'm going to go with the Falcons. I hate them, but
tough game. To
I
pick.
Was, you
tough
know,
game.
I've got to say, I am not shocked that the retractable roof that they designed has already started to malfunction. It just seems like the fancier you try to get with something really big like that, the likelier it is to malfunction and screw up somehow. So
right.
I just can't say that I'm shocked at this point that the thing has already failed.
Yeah. Indeed. Fuck them. They deserve it. Tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football in America, the New England, the Boston New England Patriots at, we got to stop doing that, it's stupid, at the Denver Broncos.
No, it's great. I love it. It's great. You got to do it every time.
Yeah, exactly. I stuck a fork earlier in the Broncos. It wasn't one of those forks that's easy to stick in a team like with the Browns and Bengals and some other teams. But the Broncos don't look like they're going to be good for much. They look like a 5 or 6 win team at this point to me. And the Patriots, on the other hand, they're not the dominant Patriots of old, but they're still hitting on enough cylinders that you just know they're going to be in the playoffs. And they have routinely beaten the Broncos in the past. I have the Patriots in this game, but I don't like having the Patriots in this game because I don't like them. But, there it is.
I hear you, partner. Well, you got to be honest. All right, Mikey.
Yeah, man, the Broncos, they've lost, I think, 4 in a row now, and they're falling apart.
Yeah.
So it was good reason to stick a fork in them. And the Patriots, they got probably the best damn coach in the game, and he's got a little more something to play for tomorrow. If they win tomorrow, he ties the almighty Tom Landry, 270
wins
for head coach. And I do think that they do it tomorrow. It could be It could be closer than what some people are saying, but I'm going with you on that one. I'm going Patriots. They'll take it.
Yep, with you there. We all picked that one. The Miami Dolphins at the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I think that if your theory about the other teams in the NFC South holds up, that this is probably a good game for the Panthers to get back on track with. Right now, the Dolphins' offense isn't scaring anybody because it's accurate, strangely accurate as Cutler has become all of a sudden. It's mostly because he's doing the Sam Bradford thing from last year, which is hitting checkdowns all the time. I think partly because he's got the cracked ribs, and the last thing he wants is to have the ball in his hand for more than a second or two. So,
right.
Given that and the fact that the like you say, the Panthers are still, you know, wanting to get back in this thing. I mean, you talk about teams that were in the Super Bowl. Hasn't been that long since the Panthers were there.
Yeah.
I think that they want to desperately get back on track. It's a home game for them, and the Dolphins are a good opponent for them to do that with. So I'm going with the Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Mikey?
Yep, I agree with you. The Dolphins suck. They're bad.
Yep.
I hate it, but yeah, Carolina's playing damn good football, and they're right there with us in the hunt for the division title, and they got a lot to play for, and the Dolphins just don't have enough to compete with them, so I got to go, unfortunately, with the Panthers on this one.
Yeah, well, it's a kind of a no-brainer right there. You never know what you know, but it's just on the road like that, and they got a lot more to concern, so yeah, I'm also gonna go with the Panthers there. So I don't like them, hate them. So I would love to be wrong about that one, but just for that little reason,
yeah.
I don't like them that petty. So, well, gents, I do appreciate it. It's been fun. Been fun as always. Let's just hope both our teams can have a big good day tomorrow. And
they will.
Hey, and we could have some good. What is it? What do we have again? Gumbo.
No, jambalaya. Going jambalaya.
Jambalaya, okay.
Mm.
All right.
Good Cajun jambalaya.
All right.
We got Boston butt going in it. We got smoked chicken and sausage and andouille. It's gonna be good eating.
Nice. You make a good you make good all the stuff you make is good, brother. Michael is a very good cook, so well, gents. Appreciate it so much, you guys hanging out with me tonight and talking a little football. We will do it again, hopefully next week. Let's all get together. And appreciate it again, by the way. Thanks for being here this past Wednesday night, Michael, for reviewing Thor Ragnarok. I want to thank everyone who listened to us Wednesday night and, of course, tonight. If you have anything to say to me, by the way, do you want to contact anyone out there listening who wants to get in touch with me, please just go to the Facebook group, Clobber and Times Baxter Building Basement, and give me a holler on there. Or if you want to talk to anybody else, just that's the best way to find us for this thing. Well, thanks everyone. We'll be back. I'm not sure if I'll be doing a geek show this week or not because of my schedule, but definitely next Saturday we'll be doing the NFL thing. So thanks, bro, Mikey and Michael. Appreciate it, buddies.
Yep. Thanks
Absolutely.
For having me, man.
Happy
great,
to be
great
here.
Again,
and it's,
as always.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just saying I'm always happy to be here and it's a pleasure.
Okay. Well, thanks guys. I'm gonna play a little music there and get out of here and try to get some rest for tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow, Mikey and Michael Shoemaker. I will see you soon. I'll see you one of these days for sure, but
one
I'll definitely talk to you sooner.
Well, both of you guys take care, have a great game and go Saints.
Go Bears. Later.
Yeah, all right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, man. Good luck to you tomorrow. Let's go win. Who dat?
Thank you very much.
Who dat?
Too many years, we must
Do that.